Behind the Wheel with Peter Hitchener and Chris Miller.
Driven by behindthewheel.com.au.
When do we go for a ride?
Oh, we've unleashed on you again for another week. It's another big week of motoring. Peter Hitchener, good to see you.
It's great to see you, Miller, and it's hard to wipe the smile off your face, I reckon. You seem to be enjoying the car you've been driving this week.
Surprisingly, and I've got to say, it's probably one of the biggest surprise packages of 2018. I know we're only kind of mid-Feb, but well, yes. So far.
And of course, we have other surprises too, because who knew that there was going to be a new hatchback Commodore?
I know. No one had ever known. No, it is. It's here. It's a car that we've been, I don't know whether keenly anticipated is the right description, but we've been interested to see what what it's like to drive and what it's going to cost and what it's going to have in it.
Back to the future in some ways.
Got a four-cylinder diesel.
Exactly. This is a Commodore.
That I think is the question. Is it a Commodore? We're going to find out. We're going to talk to the guys at Holden, Mark Flintoff, old friend of Behind the Wheel. He's going to join us a little later in the show. Give us, I suppose, the expectations that Holden have for this car.
Yes.
And then importantly, we're going to hear from a bloke who everybody trusts. When it comes to a motoring, you just know you're in good hands if Joel Helms goes, yep, it's all right.
Very much. Now, he's driven the range, or pretty much the whole range, of the new Commodore, and he'll have his impressions for us coming up.
In just a couple of minutes, we're going to feature a bloke who's in charge of a competition that I think is absolutely fascinating. I've not heard of it anywhere.
Oh, yes.
The competition is build a driverless car in 72 hours.
And not only that, the likes of NASA and MIT are coming here to Australia to take part. How about that?
It's incredible. We're going to find out how it works, where it is, how you can get involved in just a couple of minutes. I do want to let everybody know that Simon Lai, he seems to think he deserves another holiday, even though I'm sure he was only just off on one.
Well, I thought so.
He rings me and goes, oh, yeah, I'm going to be off for 3 weeks. So I went, right, I'm going to set you a task and make you really work hard on the last show before your holidays.
Very much so.
So he's going to do that by way of comparing two very popular midsize SUVs, that being the Nissan X-Trail and the Honda CR-V, to find out where your money should go, or in Simon's mind at least.
Now, what do you think, just at the outset, without having any prior information, what would you go for?
Well, I probably wouldn't go for either. I'd probably go and buy a Volkswagen Tiguan.
There you go.
So that's just me, though.
Oh,
that's...
You're so refreshingly honest sometimes.
Rachel Franco, she's refreshingly honest too.
Oh, is she ever? Yes.
Kind of hot as well, but sorry.
But Rachel is, she's unearthed something that I think everyone is going to enjoy very much.
Yep.
If they follow it up, if you follow the links, you will find something very interesting coming up from Rachel Franco.
I know.
On YouTube.
Indeed. And she says to me, I've been working so hard. I've been kind of really going, all out of this. And then she said she spent 7 hours on YouTube over the weekend. I went, that's not work. Rachel, good on you. Anyway, so we're going to hear from her shortly. We're going to talk Havel as well. Those guys out of China making leaps and bounds. We're going to find out what their new H9 is all about. Just a sneak peek, if you are in the market for a large 7-seat SUV that is fully off-road capable, I'm talking kind of Prado Trailblazer capable.
Yeah,
you know,
that
one
size.
That'll climb Mount Kosciuszko.
If you wanted to, yes. Upside down if you feel like
it. If you need to, absolutely. Yep. You've got to hear about this car. It's the H9, as I say, it's the price you got to hear. But just wait, it's coming later in the show. But I think now, why don't we just do this? We'll get straight into it. Yeah, well, as we said at the top of the show, this has got to be one of the more exciting initiatives that we've stumbled across in the last few years.
Mm.
And I reckon this one's got legs, Pete. I think it's going to be an event that's going to turn into something enormous with huge worldwide attention. And I'm very pleased that Behind the Wheel can bring you this info first. It's got to do with robotics. It's got to do with the competition. It's got to do with self-driving cars. To tell us what it's all about, happening in Brisbane right now, it's Ben Sand, the CEO of the Robotics Club. G'day, Ben. Welcome to Behind the Wheel.
Oh, g'day. How's it going, folks?
It's great to talk to you, Ben. Tell me, was this your idea or who came up with it? Because it's an absolute winner.
Oh, look, I wish I could take full credit for it. I actually started out with some smaller cars, little model, 1 to 10 scale cars that I was figuring out how to get self-driving. And a friend of mine, Ken, came along, and he's got a bit of an industrial robotics background, and he said, well, how come you're not doing real cars? And I thought, well, I don't know, isn't that a bit difficult? And he's like, well, I'm going to see just how hard it is. And 2 weeks later, he had a real self-driving car up and running at Noosa.
That's incredible. So tell us what this is all about. What's the purpose of this event that you've got happening this weekend?
Well, to be honest, it's really all about the future and what we're going to be doing with jobs then. We hear a lot about, you know, robots coming to kind of take away work, and, you know, we're pretty concerned about that. And we thought, well, if robots are coming to do all the work, then how about we all make robots and then we'll all still have jobs?
Now, that's what I like, a good old lateral thinking approach. Did you actually have a background in robotics? I know your mate did.
I've got a background kind of messing around with technology, and I've been over in Silicon Valley a bit, and did a bit over there with a whole bunch of Aussies, which was a lot of fun. And but mostly my background's kind of bringing people together. Used to fix computers growing up, but never really worked on cars myself.
Right. So let's get back to the event. It's a competition to build a self-driving car in 72 hours. Is that right?
That's right. We're a little bit sneaky with the title because you really only get about 60 because we're starting at 8 a.m. on Friday morning and finishing at 5 on a Sunday. So everyone really is under the pump.
How many people are allowed to work on each car?
We've got about 10 people working on each car, and it's a lot of exciting people, actually. We've had people come in from all over the world, but some very special news. Each car is actually getting someone who's worked on the Mad Max Fury Road cars to come and help them, just to jazz them up a bit.
And are we basing this all on one standard car, or can the teams choose whatever car they like to work on?
Oh, well, you know, within reason. Like, we basically figured out how many cars can we get for about $500 a piece, and so we've got a few options. So, they're not super standardised, but other than being about $500.
Right, okay, that's fair enough.
Are we talking about, now just back up, $500, is this for some kind of geriatric vehicle off a used car lot, or is this a special $500 thing that looks like a go-kart to start with?
No, mate, this is a real car. It's a $500 car, mostly off Gumtree. We've done a Mazda 121, Honda Civic, there's a Subaru out there, right. A couple of others. So what we wanted to do is say, look, anyone should be able to work on this. There's this belief that doing robotics is super hard, you need 10 years, you need to be a billionaire entrepreneur, you need a PhD, you need all this stuff.
Yeah.
We say, no, you need a few mates, you need a weekend, you need about $3,000 for the car and some parts, and you're off to go.
That's incredible.
That's amazing. We're hearing about autonomous cars and, in fact, driven around Albert Park Lake in one. But that one, thanks to the good
people at Bosch and
the
Tesla.
Good people at Bosch and Tesla and their deep pockets, that would have been worth squillions of dollars, the vehicle we went around in. You're talking about $500 and a lot of human input here.
That's really all it takes, you know, and... You know, I wouldn't necessarily take one of these out on the road, but it's completely fine to, you know, bounce around a farm or anywhere there isn't people, and whether you want to put a, you know, some farming equipment on the back of it or just use it to help you out a bit. Like, it's pretty much good to go after you just spent those 3 days on it.
Amazing. So what type of contestants have you attracted?
Oh, we've got people from all over the world. We've had university and TAFE students. We've had people who've got a professional background in self-driving cars and went, wait a second, I just spent 3 years doing something that you've done in a weekend, like, what's going on? And they're trying to come out and see, you know, what it's all about. So it's been a really great variety of people, you know, people with a really strong, you know, background in automotive skills, or people who mostly do software, people with electronics. It's, been a really, really good group.
Right. Well, obviously, it's too late to get involved in this weekend's event, but if we've piqued the interest of some folk, is it open to the public?
For insurance reasons, we can't really have too many spectators, but we are going to fix that over the next few months for some of our coming events. But anyone who wants to check it out, if they want to, you know, apply and be part of it, we've set up a website, 3dayrobot.com. And if you go there, you can put your name down and we'll try to include you in the next event.
3dayrobot.com. Check it out, register. And I'm sure, I suppose, early next week you'll get some pics of the event up on the website so people can check it out.
Oh, definitely. We've got so many cameras that are going to be out here. There's people making a doco on the whole thing. There's a YouTuber out from Canada who's building his own car. It's going to be pretty big.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, look, more power to you. Good on you for keeping it here in Australia. Good luck, and we'll follow with interest. Check it out, guys. 3dayrobot.com. Ben Sand, great to talk to you, bud.
Thanks very much, guys. Great to talk.
The ideal family vehicle has 7 seats, is spacious, practical, luxurious, and realistically priced. The new Havel H9 ticks all those boxes. The 2018 Havel H9 has just landed in Australian dealerships and boasts a turbocharged 180kW engine, 8-speed auto transmission, and more of the luxuries car buyers have come to expect from Havel. With 7 seats, great off-road ability, and a 5-year warranty, this is the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone is raving about, or havel.com.au.
You've heard us on the radio. Now check out the Behind the Wheel website. At behindthewheel.com.au, you can browse all our latest car reviews and car product reviews too. You can also watch our video car reviews and check out all the latest auto news. And make sure you leave your comments. Give us feedback, ask for advice, or just let us know all about your car. Behindthewheel.com.au, where motoring starts.
Behind the Wheel.
Behind the Wheel, where motoring starts.
Yes, indeed. Got lots more to get through on this week's show, including a look and a first Aussie drive of the all-new, fully imported Commodore, which kind of feels weird even saying, but anyway. Joel's been at the Australian launch. He was also at the Australian launch of a car last week that I must say I was kind of waiting for, interested to see. I actually found it in the Behind the Wheel garage on Monday, and I've got to say, Pete, and I'm pretty sure you'll agree with me, a surprise package of the year?
Absolutely. This car is amazing. It looks good on the outside, and on the inside, it does not disappoint, and it goes well.
Indeed. In fact, we're going to take everyone for a drive around the block in a few minutes, but we want to find out a bit more detail before we do that. The car in question is from Havel. It's called the H9, and to tell us a bit more about it, but it's one of the big honchos from Havel, it's Tim Smith. G'day, Tim. How you going, man?
G'day, Chris. How are you?
Good to talk to you, Tim. So the H9, the latest addition to the Havel lineup. Tell us about it.
Oh, look, it's our flagship product. It's a 7-seat SUV with a full all-terrain system, ladder frame chassis, and just a fabulous car.
Yeah, so this is the kind of car that's going to go up against the likes of, you know, your Ford Everest, your Toyota Fortuner, the Prado even, the Holden Trailblazer, the Isuzu Mux. But the thing is, Pete,
the price.
We've really tried to provide a package that is really amazing, with plenty of features over and above our competitors, but with a price that really does provide a real point of difference for consumers.
Yeah, well, look, we're looking at, well, the one we're driving is the H9 Ultra Lux Auto, and this thing is priced, get this, $44,990. And this is a car that has heated, cooled seats that even give you a massage.
Yeah, massage seats, heated and ventilated. Really, it's and a full panoramic sunroof. All from just $44,990.
And the good thing is that despite the size of this, because it's not a small car by any means,
it's a big one, yeah, absolutely.
It's still relatively frugal at 10.9 litres per 100 kilometres. Pretty good.
Yeah, look, the engineers have done a great job of giving us a more powerful engine, giving us, from the old model, 10% more torque and 10% more kilowatts or power. But the great news is that our fuel economy has gone down 10%. So it's a double sale.
Yeah, indeed. And of course, hooked up to that great gearbox that you'd find, say, in the brand new 3 Series BMW from ZF, the 8-speed.
Yeah, that's what makes the car. I believe that the 8-speed gearbox is super smooth. It gives you a really good linear torque curve, and for those people not so au fait with that sort of language.
What a torque curve is, yeah.
I'll cut it out. Stop being technical with this, will you?
Sorry. It really does create, when you take off from the lights, and that's what a lot of people judge transmission and car performance. When you take off from the lights, it really does make a huge difference in the way you get to 60 and then therefore 100.
Yeah. The one thing, the one opportunity we won't have while we've got this car in the Behind the Wheel garage is to take it off-road. A fair bit of research and development gone into making sure that it does perform and kind of keeps up with its competitors when you hit the off-the-beaten track?
Yeah, that's probably what sets this car apart, is that not only is it a great family vehicle for everything from your shopping trip or taking the kids to school. But you can get off-road with this and get away with this car. The off-road performance of the vehicle arguably is in the top 5% of cars in Australia who make similar cars. The engineers and the company have done a really great job at providing a set of technology and package that takes this car to the next level in terms of off-road performance.
Yeah, I believe our mates over at 4x4 magazine gave you a bit of a gong last year too.
Yeah, look, the great news is that we made the finals the first year we launched this car in 2015. Once again, we made the finals again, and against some pretty stiff opposition, we knocked some of the major competitors out of the finals. So really, we finished a very respectable position, and they were very impressed at the level of features and package versus the off-road and non-road performance.
Yeah, I think you might have really upset some people. I'd be watching you back. Just be careful as you sort of leave and enter the house. Just make sure there's no sort of strange cars following you.
I check every now and then. No, there's no black cars following.
Excellent. Oh, that's good to hear. So Havel is a brand that is relatively new to the Australian market. We're starting to see them on the roads. But, of course, they come from people who are extremely experienced in making SUVs because they're made in China by a very large corporation.
Yeah, Havel and Great Wall Motors corporations, and a lot of Australians would know who Great Wall is. They've done an amazing, and it's very hard for... I would say not just Australians, but Western people to understand, but the amount of growth that this company has endured or performed in the last 2 to 3 years, a massive investment in research and development and manufacturing facilities has really set the platform to take this brand to international markets. And Australia is one of those first international markets that we've approached with a view to getting Australians into the brand and then giving them the features and benefits that that Australians really need. And the H9 is part of that process.
Excellent. Lots ahead for Havel. We're out of time now because we want to take everyone for a spin around the block in the new H9. But Tim, come back. Tell us at a later stage about the electrification that we're going to see from Havel, because I believe there's a lot of stuff on the cards there and a whole lot more to learn about you guys. Good luck. We're going to go out and hit the road now. It's only the asphalt, but hey, people will get a sense of it.
We'll give it a go.
Tim, good to have your time on Behind the Wheel today, man. Thanks. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Peter.
Good on you, Tim.
Well, here we are inside the cabin of the Havel H9. Have a listen to how the doors sound when they're closed.
Ooh. Have a listen to this one. Like, that's a proper thunk.
That's a proper thunk. Sounds very European, very quality. And in fact, inside the cabin, of course, the outside looks terrific.
I'm interested with the styling because you look at it and some angles, from the side, for example, you'd swear it was a Toyota Prado.
Exactly.
And then from other angles, it's kind of got another look to the face. I'm not quite sure which. The design of the face of it, though, is, when you're up close, I think is really good. It's kind of when you give it a bit of distance, it kind of has a bit of an unusual look about it.
Yes. I know you said that. I haven't actually noticed that. I like it from pretty much any angle. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's quite sizable, isn't it?
It's absolutely enormous. Like, it's a proper full-size 7-seat SUV. Like, I mean, you turn around, it just goes forever.
It does.
And as we heard Tim talk about that panoramic sunroof, look at the size of it. It's enormous, and it opens right up.
It certainly does. It's terrific, and it's an all-terrain vehicle. So if you think, look, I don't care what anyone says. I'm going to go up the side of Mount Kosciuszko. You try and stop me.
Well, that's
it'll probably get you there.
Well, exactly. And look, you can see how the shift function, it's very reminiscent of something you might find in a Land Rover.
It is.
With its nice little sand and snow and mud and rot functions or little icons. And it's just a matter of sort of spinning that dial to choose exactly what you want. Does the interior remind you of anything? The layout of this sort of dashboard and the way it's kind of put together?
Well, I was thinking Jeep, I must say. The last time you were test driving a Jeep, when I jumped in it, I thought, this is very stylish.
Mm.
Here it is again.
I wonder if they've done a deal with Chrysler. Because even the T-bar auto, the handle for the gear shift, it feels identical to what you get in a Chrysler. I don't know, maybe they've done a deal. It doesn't actually really matter because it works really well.
Oh, yes.
And it's the quality. Like, I mean, these are all soft-touch plastics. And that's look nice. At your... Even the fake wood doesn't look quite as fake as it should.
Exactly. Well said. How does it go when we start her up?
Well, it's a pretty quiet effect.
Oh, and look at that. No diesel clatter, which is kind of what you expect in a car like this, isn't it?
Isn't it? It's just quiet and very civilized sounding. It's lovely. And this together with the beautiful cabin and so on makes it a very pleasant experience. Now the motor, it's not the biggest motor for a car of this size.
2-litre turbocharged 4-cylinder, which you wouldn't think would be up to the task, but in fact actually really is. 180 kilowatts, 350 newton metres. Of course, as we were discussing with Tim just before, that great 8-speed gearbox that you find in modern day BMWs really does give it that sort of sense of polish. And listen to how quiet it is on the road.
It's beautiful. The ride is wonderful.
And you can hear the gearbox being put in manual mode by someone without realising they're doing it. So it revs nicely too.
The joys of motoring. You're doing a marvellous job with it. And so are the people at Havel, because it's a terrific car. 7 seats. And economical to drive, 10.9 litres per 100 kilometres.
Which is incredible for a car of this size.
Yep.
And look, you know, there are a couple of little foibles here and there, as we've suggested. But, you know, when you look at the money that this car's asking, and then you have a look at, for example, a similarly optioned or spec'd Toyota Prado, for the Toyota, you'd be knocking on the door of $90,000.
You would, probably.
This is half the price.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing.
You really would. You've got to have it on your shopping list. You've got to give it a look, because I think it's more refined and more polished than, say, your Holden Trailblazer or the Isuzu Mux. It certainly feels like a more luxurious car.
Oh, it does.
We know our mates over at 4x4 magazine have tested it off-road, and they've given it a thumbs up. They say it's capable. It'll do the job. It's got the 5-year warranty, and it's $44,990. It's such great value for money.
It certainly is.
The heat is on, and that means you need to do all you can to keep cool. Window tint is what you need on your car windows, and there is a way to do it yourself. With Altrex window tint, you can achieve professional results for a fraction of the price of commercial tinting. It's easy to apply and available in 2 lengths and 4 shades. Altrex window tint blocks harmful UV rays, reduces road glare, and keeps your interior cooler while also adding privacy. And it comes with a 5-year guarantee. Altrex window tint is available from local auto accessory retailers and in the online store at altrex.com.au.
Behind the wheel.
On the road. Accelerated by behindthewheel.com.au.
Yeah, well, we kind of knew this day would come. It's been on the cards for a little while, and it looks like it's here. The first ever, Pete, fully imported Holden Commodore.
Yes, it's quite a change, isn't it?
It is, and I noticed you on Nine News had some of the first pictures in Australia of what the car looks like now that it's here.
And to very favourable reviews, I must say. People loved it.
It seems so. Now, our very own Joel Helms, he was at the scene of the launch, and we're going to get his impressions of what the thing's like to drive. But to find out what the expectations are for this car, how much it's going to cost and all the bits and pieces about it, we thought we'd go straight to the source and welcome back to Behind the Wheel, Senior Manager of Product and Brand Communications for Holden. It's Mark Flintoff. G'day, Mark.
Hi, fellas. How are we doing?
Good to talk to you, Mark. It sounds a very exciting package, or 3 packages at least, with the 4-cylinder petrol and the 4-cylinder turbo diesel and the V6. Tell us about the car. Tell us about the whole story about the new Commodore.
Yeah, I mean, we could be here a while. I mean, it's, we've been looking at this car for, a number of years now, and kind of started with, our engineering team scoping out the program with our counterparts around the world, and our design team too. So those guys heavily involved in kind of the dimension layout of the car, and, there's no coincidence that those dimensions are pretty similar to VS Commodore. It's obviously held in very high regard around the world. In terms of our engineering team, they've looked at what needs to go in the car in terms of engines, and then worked with our global counterparts throughout, trying to develop suspension, steering, ESC controls that basically make it great to drive in Australia.
Great. Mm. Well, I suppose the big question everyone will want to know, is it less expensive or more expensive than the car it replaces?
Yeah, so it's, you know, it starts less expensive. So on RRP pricing, we're looking at around $1,800 less expensive at the lower end of the range. And in terms of driver weight, it's almost $4,000 cheaper. So it's fairly significant. And, you know, across the range, when you line them up, it's very competitively priced, especially when you consider that, you know, the V6 is an all-wheel drive now, and the 2-litre turbo, which is a great engine. It's one that I think people need to drive before kind of having an opinion about.
Yeah.
That's allowed it to be a great price point too.
I think everyone kind of is of the opinion, oh, it's only a little 2-litre, but they produce power like V8s used to 10 years ago.
Mm.
Oh, so the power in it is exceptional. And, you know, as you guys mentioned, Joel had a driver one last week and was, I think, you know, was one of a number of people that were pretty impressed with it. It's, you know, it'll do 0 to 100 in less than 7 seconds. It'll tow 1,800 kilos. And, you know, it's there with 191 kilowatts of power and 350 newton-meters of torque. So it is the quickest base model Commodore we've ever had. So
that's incredible.
Pretty good for a 2-litre.
So the Boffins inside Holden, what are their expectations? Is it sort of likely to sell the same amount as the car it replaces? Are you hoping for more sales?
Yeah, so Commodore is, you know, it's changing, and the Holden product line is changing as well. So we're at a point where we're not kind of relying as much on one single product line now. You know, we expect that in terms of passenger cars, SUVs and LCVs, we'll be looking at probably a split of 35%, 35% and 30% respectively.
Okay.
So we, you know, Commodore's got to do some heavy lifting in terms of sales, but we you know, we don't anticipate it to be the same amount as VF, for example. So we'll see Colorado, Equinox, Astra take on some of that as well.
Well, look, I can't wait to see my first one on the road. Can't wait to get behind the wheel, which we will do in the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
Thanks to you, Mark. What we will do is say, Uru, thanks for your time, and we're going to go to Joel now and get his impressions on what it's like to drive on the road. Mark Flintoff, good to talk to you, bud.
Thanks a lot, fellas. Take it easy.
Thanks, Mark.
Alrighty, from a bloke who's paid to say nice things about the all-new Holden Commodore to a bloke who'll tell us the real deal. It is the man everybody trusts in the world of motoring and in other areas too, believe it or not. It is Joel Helms. Hello, Joel. How are you going?
Hello, guys. Very well, thank you.
Excellent. Now, you, of course, were the guest of Holden for the launch of what is possibly one of their more important cars ever, the first fully imported Holden Commodore. We've all seen pictures of it, but everybody wants to know, what is it like to drive?
It is, without doubt, the best vehicle that's worn a Holden badge. But...
yeah, okay, here we go.
It is to Holden what the Mondeo is to Ford. It is not a Commodore, I'm afraid to say.
Right, okay. So, look, I mean, I must say I've always seen it competing more with the likes of your Mazda 6, Toyota Camry, Ford Mondeo. It really does sort of feel like that, yeah?
Well, yeah, it's now a mid-sized car, so it's not a large car anymore. Look, it's very spacious inside. Leg room is excellent front and back. You certainly notice the difference between the old Commodore and the traditional Commodore. Well, at least going back to, say, the VN back in the early 1990s, in terms of width. The cabin is what you traditionally expect to find in a Camry or a Mazda 6 or, as you say, a Ford Mondeo. But yeah, the legroom is incredible, actually, especially up front. So, you know, you guys have both met me in the flesh. I'm probably average size adult male. I put the seat right back, the passenger seat right back, and I couldn't touch the firewall.
Wow.
That's an indication of just how much legroom there is, and that still left some legroom in the back. So it's quite a long fin car, and yeah, it drives particularly well. I particularly like the four-cylinder.
Okay, and the four-cylinder is front-wheel drive only, isn't it?
The four-cylinder is front-wheel drive only. We're talking about four-cylinder petrol here.
Yep.
And, of course, there is a four-cylinder turbo diesel, which we didn't get to have a drive of. The V6, it's an all-wheel drive, and had a drive of that one as well. Had a drive on both public roads and at the Lang Lang testing circuit. And, look, a very capable and There would certainly be an argument for the all-wheel drive powertrain in terms of handling and things like that, things driving in the wet. But I think for most purposes, I thought the four-cylinder was very, very impressive.
Now, of course, the SS name badge is gone, replaced with VXR. Did you have a crack at the VXR?
Only a very limited time in the VXR, but a fair amount of time in the RS version, the RSV version, which is the V6 version. And look, you know, it gets along and moves along really well, as you'd expect from a V6. But you know, is it anything more than a V6 Camry? Well, no, it's not.
Right.
In terms of performance.
So, oh, okay.
Look, it's an entirely different world that this car is in. And you know, if you go back to the early days of the Commodore, you know, in a way, we've gone back to where it was, which is a much smaller vehicle, four-cylinder.
That's right.
You know, it's sort of back to its roots, but it's nothing like a VE Commodore, nothing like what you would have got for, you know, the last 20 years or so from Holden.
Gotcha. In Calais, guys, is it as luxurious? Well, I suppose it's going to be luxurious, but it's got everything you would expect?
I was really disappointed with the Calais. It doesn't have, traditionally the Calais was quite a luxurious model, but I in fact got in a Calais four-cylinder, that's where I started, and I actually thought it was a base model. So it's not quite the luxury, the flagship sort of model that it once was.
Technology, all the suite of safety systems that we've come to expect these days, your blind spot monitoring, your radar cruise control, auto emergency braking, is that all standard?
Yeah, you really can't fault the car in terms of the equipment. It's a very well-equipped vehicle. It's a very well-priced vehicle. You get your Apple CarPlay, your Android Auto, your autonomous emergency braking, all of that stuff all thrown into the package. There's not a lot to fault about this vehicle. It is, if we were talking about it as being, and I was saying this to one of our colleagues, if we were talking about this as being the new Holden Malibu or Holden Apollo or whatever Holden mid-sized car you want to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm saying this is a genuinely good car. It's a very well-designed, attractive vehicle. There's not much not to like about it at all. It's just that it is a mile away from what we've traditionally known the Commodore as.
Yeah. And so would it be safe to assume that those normal people who would have bought the previous Commodore might go and have a look and then head to somewhere else for their purchaser?
That's what makes the whole story a very interesting one, Chris, is that, you know, are there really any of those traditional Commodore buyers left? The model hasn't been selling anywhere near like it has previously. People aren't buying passenger cars as they once were. It's now in a category that's dominated by a vehicle that's probably never been better in its form. That's the Camry, of course. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. Terrific vehicle. I just don't know where they're going to get the buyers for this vehicle. And as I say, there's no good reason not to buy it and not to give it a chance, so long as you go with an open mind, I suppose. Of course, things like the Statesman's gone, the Ute's gone, all of that, you can get the Wagon. Of course, probably the big point that we should mention to everybody is that the Commodore is no longer a sedan. It's now a five-door hatch. So that's a good sign of just how much it's changed.
Fair enough, too. And where do we find you this week? Where are you, out and about?
I'm at the wheel of a BMW 740i.
Oh, nice.
I say.
A lovely vehicle.
Yes.
And we're taking a few BMWs for a drive on a BMW drive day in the northern suburbs of Melbourne.
Fantastic. Well, looking forward to hearing more about that maybe next week. And I think the sandalwood option when it comes to the perfume atomizer that's standard in that 7 Series is probably the best pick.
Yes, exactly. And I love the gesture control as well. I'm giving you a gesture right now.
Oh, stop that.
Right. Well, we're going then.
You can be booked for that. Cut it out.
On you, Joel. We'll chat next week, man. Thanks, heaps.
See you guys.
Australian families looking for the ideal vehicle for their needs are often left frustrated. Some vehicles seem to tick all the boxes but then cost the earth. Others are well priced but don't have the space or features that families need. Stop compromising, as there is an option that won't leave you wanting more. The new Havel H9. Boasting a 180 kilowatt turbo engine, 8-speed auto, 5-year warranty, real off-road ability, and 7-seat capacity, the Havel H9 just can't be beaten. Visit your local Havel dealership today or havel.com.au.
Motorists are taking more notice than ever about how their car ownership affects the environment. But
Did you know that simply keeping your car clean can also be environmentally damaging? If you want to do the right thing and keep potentially harmful chemicals out of the drains, then invest in the EcoCar car cleaning range from Altrex Auto Accessories. EcoCar are a range of effective and environmentally safe products that every Australian garage should have, and they contain environmentally friendly ingredients including natural coconut and aloe vera. You can purchase the EcoCar car cleaning range from the Altrex Auto Accessories online store at altrex.com.au.
Behind the wheel.
Behind the wheel, where motoring starts.
Yeah, what a show it's been so far, and still so much more to get through. In fact, we're going to get straight into it. Let's welcome him back. He's a man who's disappearing.
Here he is.
On, I don't know whether we could call it a deserved, well-deserved break or a just another junket where he's going to sit around and not do very much. It's Simon Lai. Hi, Simon.
Hi, Chris and Peter. How are you going?
Hello, Simon. Good to talk to
you. So where are you going now? Like, didn't you just have a holiday?
No, I didn't. That wasn't me. That was Peter.
I did have a bit of a break, I must admit. So, Simon, you're off on a break, but not before you're comparing two very quite awesome vehicles that sell plenty of numbers in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't usually do comparisons, but it just so happened that I had these two in a row, and I just thought it would be interesting to talk about the Honda CR-V and the Nissan X-Trail, but the thing is, the ones that I tried were both the seven-seaters.
Right. Well, and I'd suggest a lot of people are really kind of interested to hear about these cars, because seven-seaters, we don't all want a massive big car, you know, but sometimes going to a basketball game, you know, at 11 a.m. on a Saturday morning, and you go, Dad, can we pick up so-and-so? You need those seven seats. So, and I suppose these two cars fit that bill really well. They're not sort of seven-seaters designed to take seven people in comfort interstate, but, you know, kids in the back for a quick trip to the basketball is probably their primary purpose, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. It's those emergency-only situations. And with this CR-V, it was the VTIL, and the Nissan X-Trail, I had the STL. Now, they're not both at the same spec level, but these are the highest spec level for the seven seats in each of the models.
Gotcha.
So the VTIL is the higher of the two. It's just one off the top, and the STL somewhere in the middle. But the price is about the same. So you're looking at about $38,990 for the CR-V and about $39,000 for the STL. But aside from that, the rest of it is actually quite different. I never thought I'd say this, but you get more value for money with the CR-V
in the Honda.
Gee, that's good.
Yeah, exactly. And it's more down to, you know, the fit and finish, the amount of features and specs and technology as compared to the X-Trail, which is a little bit lacking.
Yeah, well, the CR-V is certainly a much newer car, isn't it? It was only just released in the last sort of 12 months.
It's very good.
It's a bit of an acquired taste, though, I find. It's odd in the way that it kind of goes about its business in the look from the exterior, but also that interior architecture, the way the kind of the gearlever sort of seems to be like almost in conjunction with the windscreen or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know that I haven't been a fan of Hondas in the past because they've been, you know, a little bit behind the pack, but this new CR-V has their new design and their new look, and it's a lot a better improvement on the previous model. And compared to the Nissan, you know, it's miles ahead. In terms of, the exterior, it does look a bit funny. I mentioned in the review that it's more aggressive, but then, like, those rear tail lights, that kind of stick out a bit. I don't like juddy bits and that kind of stuff, you know, especially if you're washing your own car. I just like everything nice and smooth and not have too many surfaces to clean.
Too many nooks and crannies.
As
long as there's nothing to bark your shins on, like a nice tow bar where you don't expect it.
Yeah, that's the worst. But the inside is fantastic. Like, it's nice and sophisticated. You know, there's leather everywhere. It's got nice new design. It's got great features, like I mentioned, things like a powered tailgate, panoramic sunroof, memory seat function, you know, heated seats, and the lane watch camera, powered seats, you know, all that kind of stuff that you expect. You don't get so many of those things in the X-Trail. Aside from that, too, you could say that the drive is completely different because under the bonnet is a 1.5-litre turbo in the CR-V, but the X-Trail only has a 2.5-litre naturally aspirated engine. So,
so there's a 1-litre capacity difference, but yet that turbocharger on the Honda makes up for it. And it's certainly, it's unusual to say this, but the Honda's torquier.
Yeah, I know. It definitely is. And you feel that, like, there's a lot more power low down. You said they made up for it. In fact, it's probably made up for it and even more. And the ride is, you know, as Hondas usually are, they're just quiet and very stable. And overall, it was just a really nice experience.
Yep. Well, it sounds like there's definitely a clear winner there. Mm. If anyone's in the market for a 7-seat midsize SUV, sounds like you need to go to the Honda dealership to confirm your suspicions. I'd go to the website, read Simon Lyde's review at behindthewheel.com.au. Yes, indeed, it's product review time. And if you ask any tradesperson, the right tool for the job makes all the difference. And I can vouch for that, even if I couldn't be further away from a tradesperson if I tried. So the question is, why would you still be using a basic sponge just to wash your car? Seriously, it's kind of like using a shifting spanner when you've got a proper socket set sitting beside you. The right tool for the job when it comes to getting the car properly clean is this week's product of the week. It's called the CarSmart Car Wash Mop. It's made from 100% super soft cotton fibre. The wash mop wraps around all sorts of shapes into nooks and crannies, which I know are favourites of Simon Lies, and that means that you can get into all the tight spots that you need to and all those tight spots that your sponge wouldn't normally get to. The CarSmart Car Wash Mop won't scratch paintwork, makes washing easy and fast, and it's also very well priced. At just $5.99. Bargain. You can order it now. Behind the Wheel's product of the week. Head to the Alltrex Auto Accessories online store now. Click the button. It'll be at your front door before you know it. Alltrex.com.au. And now we've got to put them together again. I don't actually know whether they've actually been in the same room, because I reckon if they were, sparks may fly and there could be trouble in each... each of the houses, but both, for the moment...
They're both so forthright,
aren't they?
They don't hold back.
Simon Lai, joined by the fabulous Rachel Franco. Hello, Rach.
Hi, everyone. How are we today?
Hello, Rach.
Very well indeed. And it would seem that you've been doing productive things with your time, spending hours and hours on end on YouTube, I believe.
Yeah, pretty much. It's the story of my life. I don't get much work done.
So. No, but I must say, I love the idea of your topic this week, when cars and music collide.
That's right. I love music, I love cars, and I thought, why not do a piece on when cars and music collide and talk about some of my favourite music video clips that feature... either feature awesome cars or feature cars doing awesome things.
Yeah, well, you did send us a link, and this will be at the Behind the Wheel website. Go check it out now, behindthewheel.com.au, because this clip, Rach, I think everybody's got to see it to believe it. Pete and I have just sat here with our mouths open for the last 10 minutes going, this is amazing.
It's amazing.
Tell us about it.
So it's this band from the US called OK Go. People might know them. They had a song out a few years ago, or quite a few years ago now, where they were... the video clip was them on treadmills, doing stuff.
Yeah.
And very innovative. They always do really kind of left of centre, very elaborate, wacky film clips. So this particular song is called Needing Getty.
Yeah, let's have a quick listen. You might have heard a bit of gravel in the background there, which may give your story away, Rach, but it's a good tune. It's a really catchy tune, isn't it?
Yeah, I really like the song. It's great, and they're a great band. But this particular film clip is amazing. It was sponsored by Chevrolet, so it features a Chevrolet Sonic, which we know as a Holden Barina.
Beep, beep, Barina, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Beep, beep, Barina. And I've got to tell you, I used to have a Barina. I could never do this sort of stuff enough, that's for sure. So basically... Chevrolet sponsored the video clip, and it was presented as a Super Bowl ad back in 2012.
That makes sense, because there's a lot of money spent on this thing, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, up to $1 million. It was crazy. But basically the crux of the whole thing for people listening is that this car is driven by the band through, I don't know how many, I think it's about a 2-mile-long course on a private property where the car itself is hitting this sort of rods and arms and stuff coming off it, and those are hitting instruments that are strategically lined up along this course to hit the instruments as it goes past to make up the melody of the song.
You can hear them hitting guitars right now. These are guitars chained to a fence, and the car's belting along with a little arm out the side, strumming the guitars as it goes past, and that's the sound you get. It's fantastic.
It's insane. It was 288 electric guitars were used to create that guitar sound.
Well, I'd believe it, because they're going at a hell of a speed too, aren't they? They're really keen in it.
Yes.
Up to about 60 k's at certain points on the track, and the lead singer had to go and do 3 days of stunt, like do a stunt driving course to learn how to drive, because they didn't want to use stunt doubles or anything. And they did do it. It wasn't in one take. It looks like it's in one take, but it's not. They did multiple takes.
Oh,
but
no.
Basically... it's just the car making music with them inside.
It's clever. Phenomenal. There's a guy in the back that looks a bit like Simon Lai.
Yes. Not as handsome. Not as handsome, but he does his best.
Did you notice they were dressed as the Wiggles?
I wondered about that too.
Yeah. And, you know, the four of us could give that a go. So we might be in the video one day.
Actually, you're right.
We'll just get a car and put stuff all over it.
That's a great idea.
And make a hold and it'd give us a couple of cars.
Or a Gogamobile dart or just something out there. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's beautifully shot, this commercial. Idea. This commercial is beautifully shot.
Yep.
And you can tell they have spent squillions on it because of all the takes. And we haven't seen the outtakes yet, but if you jump on YouTube and have a look at it, there's a button to press so you can see the outtakes, what went wrong when they were making the commercial.
Mm. Yeah, it'd be fascinating.
It's amazing.
Well, go read with interest Rachel Franco's fabulous article, behindthewheel.com.au. I've got to say, before I let you all go, this has got to be the most contained, sensible segment four of Behind the Wheel I think the four of us have ever done.
Okay, what's wrong with us? We'll be back to our old selves next week, I promise.
I know what it is. I forgot to supply the gin. That's what it was. Guys, thanks heaps. We're going to talk Kia Stinger next week. Join us again for Behind the Wheel. See you, Simon. See you, Rach. Bye, Pete.
Bye.
See you, guys.
Cheers. Bye.
The heat is on, and that means you need to do all you can to keep cool. Window tint is what you need on your car windows, and there is a way to do it yourself. With Altrex window tint, you can achieve professional results for a fraction of the price of commercial tinting. It's easy to apply and available in two lengths and four shades. Altrex window tint blocks harmful UV rays, reduces road glare, and keeps your interior cooler while also adding privacy. And it comes with a 5-year guarantee. Altrex window tint is available from local auto accessory retailers and in the online store at altrex.com.au.
Havel's just released a new family 7-seater SUV, the Havel H9. A finalist in the 2017 4x4 Australia Awards, the Havel H9 is an impressive SUV, boasting a 180kW turbo engine, smooth 8-speed auto, 5-year warranty, real off-road ability, and 7-seat capacity. The luxurious Havel H9 will take you to the outback and back in complete comfort. It's the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone is raving about, or havel.com.au.